So as I was preparing this week, or not preparing this week, either way you want to go about it, as I was thinking about, you know, what I was going to say, I right off the bat, you know, I prayed to God, and I said, Lord, you know, you're going to have to speak today, because I can't do it. And as the week went on, most of you may know, some of you may not. We are, as a family, we are venturing into a new adventure in our lives. And no, we're not having more kids. Just getting that out there. We're starting a family business that is. It's kind of it's a food truck business, but it's not really in a truck, it's in a trailer instead. And we're also going to be doing some catering and things like that. And with any new adventure, you know, obviously there's some investment. There's investments monetarily, but there's also investments in just thinking through the process, you know, and planning, and there's investments in time and getting things together. And we ordered our trailer, what is it now, 12, first week of April. And at that point in time, I was thinking, you know, hey, how long does it take to build a trailer? I mean, I could probably do it in a week, you know, but the manufacturer took 10 weeks, 13 weeks, something like that. So we immediately became a little bit behind with that. And so now it's a mad rush because we have our first event planned for this Wednesday. And we've got a lot of work to do. So have us in your prayers and your thoughts, cuz you know we've got a really stressful couple days here. But God is good, and he will provide our strength. He will provide, you know, what we need. And so I was thinking through that whole thing and how much the more and more I thought through it, the more and more I realized how much I need to rely on God. Because pretty quickly, you get reliant on yourself. You start, when you make plans, you know the old adage, if you want to make God laugh, make a plan. No matter how much we plan, we lay everything out. God brings us to a point where we need to trust in him. We need to lay down our plan, lay down our desires to follow him, and just rest in the fact that he has things under control. Rest in the fact that we are in his grace. Rest in the fact that no matter what happens in our life, no matter the circumstances, no matter what we have going, he is in control of everything. And he will see us through. So with that, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians 12. And And I would like to start out before we read by just having a short prayer. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us this morning through your word, that your name and yours alone would be glorified. And we thank you, Father, for your blessing. We thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us and the country, free country that we live in. And we thank you, Father, that we can have your word in its complete form, that we can read it and study it. And it is such a privilege to do that, Father. We thank you for that privilege. And we just praise you and honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start out in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 12. And this is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body, I do not know, or whether out of body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, and whether in body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hear from me, and lest I should be exalted above the measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he may depart from me, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, it's half tempting for me to stop speaking right there, because that is powerful stuff. And I probably should, because I'm probably going to butcher it from now on out. But it's amazing. You know, we think of Apostle Paul. I've always thought of Apostle Paul as being a very strong man, and he was. But here he is saying, in my weakness, I will boast. Each and every one of us, and especially myself, we have a desire to see ourselves lifted up. In some way, somehow, that creeps into us, that self-satisfaction and desire creeps up into us. It's our sinful nature. And each one of us has it. But to boast in what I do badly? Really, Paul? What he's saying here, he's saying, you know, I boast in this. Why? Because then God is glorified. When you have a star pitcher, and yes, I'm going to baseball again. When you have a star pitcher on the mound and he's pitching well, he tends to get all the glory. Every time a game is won, or a big game is won, a lot of times, everybody goes, the whole team, after the game is won, they go up and they shake whose hand? The pitcher's, right? The pitcher is the guy that gets all the glory. Now, does he have a big responsibility? Absolutely. But as I tell my boys all the time, the pitcher has a big responsibility in a ball game. But there's one person in that game that controls him. And in my mind, that person is as equal to him, if not more so, than him. In the aspect of responsibility, in the aspect of need. Who is it, boys?
Catcher.
Ah. The catcher. Because the catcher knows his pitcher. A good catcher knows his pitcher. He knows where to put the glove to get the perfect spot. He reads that batter more than the pitcher does. The pitcher has to focus on what his own responsibility is. But the catcher is responsible not only for the pitcher, but he's responsible to look out in the field and see everybody else and make sure everybody else is in position and where they're at. And he's calling plays, whether he's receiving it from the coach and then calling it out, or he is directing. Yet, when the game's over, who gets the handshake? The pitcher. It's good job, pitcher. I use that analogy because God is the one that directs us. God is the one that gives us the words to speak, gives us the strength to get to do what we need to do. Yet a lot of times, we want the glory. A lot of times, we get the glory from each other. God is the one. And that's why Paul is saying here, he's saying, I will boast in my infirmity so that I am weak and my weakness without Christ is displayed so that Christ gets the glory. And he alone deserves it. He alone is worthy of it. So, Christ is the one that Paul wants to glorify here. Paul mentions his thorn in the flesh. And nobody really knows what that was. Some people think it was his eyesight. But regardless, it's a moot point. Because each one of us has something. There is no perfect people in this world, though we try to glorify people to make them perfect. There's no perfect country. There's no perfect scenario. We're all human. We're all fallen. So we need to be sometimes to be reminded of that. And God used Paul's thorn in the flesh to remind him and to keep him humble, because he had accolades. I mean, Paul was a huge part of the church, and there was a lot of people who hung on his every word. There was a lot of people that what Paul said, and it was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and God was speaking through him, but what Paul said was gospel. It literally was the gospel. And Paul knew at that point in time that people could look at him and make him, as some people have done, a deity almost. Make him equal or even sometimes above God. And so he brought this out. He said, he brought this thorn in the flesh. I am human. I'm a tool. And God, though he will use this, though I want this away from me, God says, and he asked three times, he said, three times, please, Lord, take this away. Each time, and I find significance that he says that here, because it almost seems like there was maybe a span of time between when he asked. You know, I remember, you know, at different churches, you know, you'll have an anointing service, and people will come, and especially in this time, they would gather around, and it was a call of the church to gather around the person and ask for healing. And it almost appears like that might have been done, like the whole church was gathering around him and asking God to remove this infirmity. Now, that's projection. I don't know that for sure that was the actual case, but it almost would appear like that was the case. Like it was because Paul makes a big deal out of saying, three times I ask. It was very specific. He's very specific in what he says. Three times. And each time, God spoke to Paul. Each time God spoke to Paul and said, my grace is sufficient for you. That's powerful. Is it not? My grace, God's grace, is unbelievably powerful. From his first initial commit, you know, his design of this world, his design of us, the grace that he gave us just by creating us, and then us falling and turning away from him, and then he sent his only son to die in our stead. And God says to Paul, that is enough. How many of us have a desire to take pleasure in our problems? That's a tough one, isn't it? We all have issues that we deal with. We all have areas in our life that we can work on. We all have shortcomings and fallings. Yes, even Harry Bennett has some shortcomings. Or at least that's what B tells me. I couldn't get through a service without picking on you. I'm sorry. It's just nature. Just seems natural for me to do. But in all that, God says, my grace covers. And my grace is sufficient for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this grace that you've given us. We thank you again for your scripture. We thank you that in our shortcomings, that is when you are glorified. Not through these great accolades we do, not through great acts and works, but in our weakness, then you are strong. Then you are glorified. That's hard for us to wrap our heads around, especially me. I have a hard time, Lord, wrapping my head around the fact that me, as a Christian, being put down, and my suffering and my weakness actually gives you glory. But Lord, it's so true, because I can't do anything without you. I can't speak. I can't live. I can't breathe. You, Lord, are in control of all our lives. And we ask, Father, that you continue to work in our lives. Continue to speak into us. We ask, Father, that you continue to show us your plan. Continue to lead us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.